Hey John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good. Good, dude. How's the weather over there?
It's cloudy. It's a little cooler than it's been, so I can walk around and I have to worry about sunscreen, but
Yeah.
it's not bad. It's comfortable.
Awesome. Awesome.
What's it like
Awesome.
in New Finland? You're in New Finland, right? Or
No, not quite. It's New Brunswick, so close to Halifax. It's pretty nice. It's like not overly hot. We've lucked out, man. Like it hasn't usually been this dry. It's usually way more humid. So it's been a little better just because then you can actually live in it.
I was in Halifax years ago,
Yeah.
visiting a
Halifax
friend
is
that
a nice
played in a
city.
symphony there, so.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Love your kids.
Sorry?
Love your son. Love your kids.
Yeah, they're pretty adorable, man. I'm missing them right now. They're with the family out in Ontario right now.
Nice. Are you originally
Absolutely
from New
adorable. This
Brunswick?
kills me. Every single time I see them, they're just a little cool. No. We were from Ontario.
Okay. Pardon me
Paul,
if I'm
Robert.
taking a meal and I'm watching, so.
Vamshi, you there, buddy? And then I see iPhone. If you guys want to pop off your or pop on your cameras, I'd love to see you. There he is, walking, getting steps, I'm sure. Vamshi in the thick of a cut. Oh, is that Chaz? Chaz, you doing your cardio too, man? Good for you. Awesome. Good to see. Guys, I'm just going to give it a couple more minutes just to make sure that we get as many people in here as possible. Last time I think that we had a call that was about like exercise execution. I think it was Chris who ran it, and apparently he had a great time. So I'm hoping the same thing can be for now. Guys, just as we're kind of like waiting for some people to trickle in, might have a small group. That's okay. Anybody who's had any awesome like wins this week or like that. Like I don't like to ever make these things sound so formulaic. Like I know that's pretty popular to celebrate wins, but I'm curious more so because I like hearing what you guys are accomplishing. So that I can also cater this call towards any questions that could be around that, or like if you're celebrating one win but you're trying to move towards something else, like what are they? What's going on? So, John, since you're the first to talk today, man, what's going on on your end?
So one win that I shared today was that I sent the video, but I did dumbbell bench presses at 55 today, and that's the heaviest I've been able to push since in a few years. And I had the shoulder surgery back in December, so I was really happy about that.
Okay, that's awesome, man. Good for you. Incredible stuff. What about you, Paul?
Working towards the 1,000 pound club and had a test last week. Wanted to go for 500 pounds and wound up getting 565. So I overshot by
No.
10%.
Good for you. Awesome. What are your lifts so far? Squat, bench, dead, and what are the weights?
Bench press was 155, I think. Back squat was 195, and deadlift was 215, I believe.
Awesome. Good for you, man. I'm not sure if you're interested in online competitions and stuff. It's not really a competition, but Rogue Fitness does like monthly competitions and stuff. And one of them that they do is they do the 500, 1,000. They might do 1,200, but they do 1,000, 1,500, and then they do 2,000 pound club. And if you sign up online, like you get a t-shirt and you just have to submit a video and you get entered amongst everybody in the world as well. It's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of them too. So if you like anything, there's a bunch of cardio ones. There's ones for weightlifting. There's ones like I had one of my clients a long time ago do a farmer's carry or a farmer's hold, and it was brutal, like just brutal because like you're not even able to hold like a nice barbell. They want you to hold an unknurled barbell, and so you have to just pick it up one in each hand. And again, think of like the length of the barbell too. You don't even know where the middle is, right? So it's gonna tilt on you. And you have to hold this unknurled barbell, one in each hand, for as long as possible with most amount of weight. And I thought he was going to do good because he's a big guy. And he pulled out, like, I think he did 488 or something. And I thought that was good. And then you see the people around the world submitting. And some people were pulling like 1,000 pounds, like 1,000 pounds holding it for like a good like minute. It's just incredible seeing what people are doing. So pretty awesome stuff. Robert, you're next. What's going on your end?
Been a pretty good week. Finished a real body composition phase with Andrew. I
Awesome.
was at a really big calorie deficit for the last sort of 3 weeks or so. So just training again with food is nice. Like just a bit of carbs are coming back up, so feeling the energy back in the gym again.
What a
Those
difference,
last few
right?
weeks we were really cutting was, you don't feel good in the gym. You're lifting going, oh God, I got no energy. So it's just nice to sort of be back in again with some few carbs in the belly and enjoying that.
Good for you, man. And you know what? Like, depending on how deep we get into it, just because we didn't really get too many people submitting exercise execution videos. Maybe we can talk about this kind of stuff just to kind of like, if we have some time, because all this stuff we all go through it, right? And I think that there's a lot of things to kind of understand and some things to lean into, some things maybe aren't necessary that we can kind of like dive into. And that way people can understand how to kind of be more effective. But that's awesome and good for you. Vamshi, I know you're always winning, buddy, but pick one, pick only one of many wins.
I would say I've been on the cut phase. So this is my 9th week. Like, lost close to 14 pounds, the leanest I've ever been.
Yeah, you're kicking butt, man. You're doing awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Can you share something that you've done that you think has helped you be effective, as effective as you have been?
Yeah, I mean, I've done this cut like in the last 3 years. This is my 3rd cut. I would say this one is special because I've been eating a lot, right? So I'm eating like more than. Like around 2,600 calories. But I think I increased my activity. That's something new. So I'm getting close to like 15 to 20K steps every day.
Yeah.
And I'm losing fat like crazy. And there
Yeah,
are
and you're
fit
eating more.
spots. Yes.
Yeah. So what does it feel like, man? Because we just had Robert kind of come on, and he's on the side where he's digging into calories. And there's no right way. It's depending on the person, right? It's depending on the
True.
person, it's depending on their phase of their training, it's depending on their muscle mass. There's a lot of different reasons why a coach would pick a modality or rather a strategy, sorry. But like what have you noticed is different in how this feels versus the last time?
See, last time, I would say I was not able to differentiate between cravings and then hunger, right? So it was the same thing. You go eat something, you crave, or like you're hungry, you don't know. But this time, I really noticed a difference because I don't get cravings at all, right? And then I get that feeling of hunger, but I say, okay, I'm fine, right? I can wait until my next meal, right? But earlier, if it is cravings, like, you just try to go search for food. Like, no, that's a major difference I've seen. Like, I can
Yeah.
really notice the difference between craving and hungry.
I just lost my screen, guys. Hold on. Oh, brutal. Hold on. Oh. Can you guys see me or hear me?
Yeah,
Okay,
we
for some
can hear
reason,
you.
I just lost my visual. Sorry about that. I don't know why this is happening. Hold on. I'm trying to get it back.
We can still see in here, so don't do anything embarrassing.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just my monitor turned off for some reason. I don't know why it just happened. Come on. Weird. There we go. I hope that doesn't happen again. Weird. It's happened a couple times today. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, okay. So, Chaz, you're on the list next, man.
All right. What do you want? What a
What's going on
win, you
your end?
said?
What's a win this week? Yeah. How's things going on your end?
All right. Yeah, doing okay. Our gym, they're redoing the floor, so they've blocked off some of the equipment. You can't use it right now, and so it's been a little bit of annoyance this week. But they've been renovating the whole gym, which I like. But right now, we just had an issue with using equipment that I need. And so that's affected my workouts this week so far. But I think they're expecting it to be done the end of the week, I'm hoping. But just having to work around what I can use at the gym right now.
So you're still moving towards your cut, right? How's that going?
Okay, just trying to be consistent. And, my calories were just changed a little bit to give me like a bit of a refeed, but just trying to juggle that and getting used to the. Normally, I like to do the same thing every day, so this, it's different having to change it. But I've done it before. I just have to get to the
Just to apply it.
Yeah, it's got to lean into it. Well,
Yeah.
buddy, just keep me posted, okay?
Okay, yeah, I will.
So, there's a couple things. I'm going to go through some exercise videos. There's only three that got popped into the group chat, guys. So, just so you know, I'll go through them with you. But a couple of things I wanted to kind of talk about before I get into them, which is I think there's some barrier to entry things to understand about exercise execution of the upper body. I feel that there's been so many conversations on the group calls that I'm not really sure where people have jumped in on. So I'm just going to kind of talk as if everyone on the call has never heard this kind of stuff. Okay. But when it comes down to knowing form, it's a couple questions we're trying to ask ourselves before we kind of get into what's the correct form. Because I'm not like, I think that there's definitely some rights and wrongs, like no doubt, like don't bring the bar down on top of your face kind of thing, of course, right? But when it comes down to form, what we're really trying to do is we're trying to understand that exercises themselves don't necessarily actually just grow muscle, like voila, because you can do an exercise 500 different ways and it's going to have 500 different effects, okay? So what we're trying to think about instead is what is the exercise allowing or affording us the opportunity to do, and that's the opportunity to load a muscle, right? So then we're thinking, okay, so now based on this position and based on your own anatomy, and how you move and your mobility restraints and your goals, like what's the most effective way to load this muscle in this exercise, okay? So the exercise we chose today were the dumbbell bench press, and I chose that for a reason because I think that there's too many things in bench press with the barbell that are obviously there's competition. There's different things to go through there. So I was kind of thinking, hey, dumbbells are a little easier. And then the overhead press, because I see a lot of people initiate that one wrong. It's a really good one to kind of go through. So if we kind of revisit that point about exercise execution, and it's again, it's about making sure we understand that we use exercises to load muscles. Loading a muscle is what we're trying to do here. That's the whole thing. Because if we can load a muscle, that means we can work, right? And when we work, we can grow. And then if we can grow, we can, see progress and we can get down this gains train and then everything is simple. We get our job, right? And then that's where you start seeing progress. Everyone in this call probably has at least one muscle that they load effective as anything. They get predictable results. I'd imagine that if you guys give me a nod, that's true. Like there's at least one muscle you feel that you go to the gym and you can get the result you're looking for. Yeah. And it's pretty typical. Like if people, it's usually like their chest or their quads or something very visual. It's usually something on the anterior, not usually the posterior. Posterior usually takes a little more time. But yeah, so let's start with the bench press. I'm going to share a video here. I'm hoping that me keeping my mouse moving does not turn off my screen. Okay, so which one is this one? You guys see my screen? Yeah? Thumbs up?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay, I think this is you, Robert, right?
Yep.
Awesome. So just so you know, you actually do this really well. So that's awesome. A couple of things to point out is I'm gonna wait until you're down here. So you'll notice he's in this position. He's not here. Okay. This is where we want to be in pecs. Couple of things to consider when we're working pecs is a lot of people think, again, exercise, and they're not really thinking movement. They're thinking flat, incline, decline, or dips, right? And then, or flies. And they're thinking those are the exercises that grow my pecs. What they're failing to realize, it's actually just arm path. And it's like a fly is horizontal adduction, abduction, right? So we're bringing the elbow across the front. We're thinking in this, the elbow more across, the elbow comes from a low to a high position. See that? Make sense? So I want you guys to kind of remove the exercise and just think about this person. Just imagine him floating in space. And again, his elbow is drawing across the top of the rib cage and coming to here. So when we're pushing, we're coming like that. Okay, so we're converging across the chest. Whereas a bench press down here, see how there's very minimal convergence? See that? So it would be very, very different, right? Not only that, but because the elbow being flared, it's going to send a lot of tension to the delt. If we actually do this, like if you guys actually put your arm just here, just grab it. If you guys have free hands, put your arm down, put your arm here, and then put your hand on your shoulder, and you'll notice it's relatively relaxed, right? And then if you retract your scapula and then you flex your chest to draw it across, your delt stays not, it's on, but it's relatively relaxed compared to your chest when you draw it across. Whereas if you do this, even just in the back stretch, you'll feel your delt turn on immediately. You can feel that? Okay, your delt is on. It's just when you're in that position, it's not the best. There's a couple other things to watch out for. I guess luckily because you guys are working out really well, which is awesome for me. nobody did anything wrong, but it didn't help me in terms of trying to showcase some things that we can improve on. Okay, so I'm gonna have to kind of ad lib them. Some things again, if you guys put your arms out, palm up, think palm up and showing the elbow to the floor. That is external rotation, okay? Palm down, elbow to the sky, that would be internal rotation, right? So when we have the lack of mobility in one of those joint ranges, or we tend to fail in or out of them in something like a bench press, what you'll see is you'll see somebody fail and go like that. I'm sure you guys have seen that. Yeah, Robert's nodding his head. I'm not sure if you used to or not. A lot of people did, right? And that's where this becomes a problem because we end up shuttling that. And then what happens is you protract the scapula, you use the delts, and you're trying to finish the lockout with the triceps. Again, not a bad thing, but it's not the best exercise for that. One of the things you'll notice when it comes down to exercise selection is we're not only taking into consideration like the mechanics and stuff, but we're also thinking the efficacy of the exercise itself. So if you guys can see my mouse, right? Yeah. So you'll see his wrist. Draw a straight line down from his wrist, and you'll see that his elbow kind of comes to the right of the straight horizontal line, right? But then from the left, there's a lot more chest. So meaning like you have that moment arm that is giving a lot of tension to the chest, which is good, and not too much to the triceps, which is good. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad good thing depending on either way you pick it. It's just depending on how you're trying to grow and utilize the exercise for the muscles. So if he wanted to do this more tricep dominant, then he might want to flare his elbows out. And I can't remember what the name of that exercise is. I don't think it's a very effective one, but you could do it. And that would be like a tricep dominant press, okay? Where the elbow would flare out and then you push back up. He's doing it with a little bit of triceps and he's keeping his chest as the main mover of the exercise. Okay. Does that make sense to you guys? Have you seen moment arms taught? Have you guys had that taught to you before? Thumbs up or thumbs down if you hadn't. Yeah. Cause moment arms, what it basically means is like, if you think a good visual for a moment arm is just, if you guys can picture a person squatting, picture them on the side view squatting. Okay. When they go down, what goes forward? Their chest a little bit, right? Their knees, right? And then when they're going down, what goes back? Their lower back and their hips and their hamstrings, right? Okay. So now, depending on somebody's leverages, like in terms of how torso dominant they are, how femur dominant they are, their tibia angle, their glute angle, their mobility, their thoracic spine, their ankle dorsiflexion, like all these different joint ranges and how mobile they are. This person is going to have obviously a biomechanical leverage that's going to favor quads or glutes or hamstrings or lower back, okay? Which is why some people are just good squatters and some people aren't. If you've ever seen Ben squat, his squat is very quad dominant, which is why Ben can squat for quads. It's a good thing for him. It's not bad. If this motion, if we're thinking the same thing, again, vertical line down from the wrist, because that's the center of the mass of the dumbbell. And we got triceps over here, you got chest over here. Okay. So we can see that with any single exercise. If you can actually kind of zone in and kind of like visualize that geometry, you can really utilize it. Okay. You have any questions? Okay. Do you guys see this form constant in the gym, or is this actually something that you've never really seen? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Yeah. Because a lot of people actually do think that chest is here. They actually do, like, they think that that's the chest press, and you're not getting much there. Okay. There can be benefits in it for some people, depending on, again, their own, like, sternal angle and their own, again, anatomy. But for you, it's a good press, man. So, anyways, Robert, good job on that. What I would suggest, guys, is just pay attention to what you're trying to grow. Okay. When we're thinking about the chest, again, a common theme, I think if there's somebody else doing something, or do I, sorry, shoulder press. A common theme for chest that I like to teach is just how this bone interacts with here. Okay. So pressing across here, horizontal adduction. We got pressing coming across here. A lot of people think that incline bench press is like the best of bench presses, but a lot of people actually just overarch. And you got two problems. You got overarching, and then it turns back into a bench press, which is the exact same thing if you're just flat. It's the same motion. Or it turns into same thing, overarching, and then elbows out, and it's basically all delts. Okay. And you'll build these big old anterior delts and triceps. Okay. So, like, one form isn't necessarily correct. It's about each individual. Okay. So, the next guy, I'm not sure who it was.
I just
Let's
ping
see.
one
Oh,
question
there we
quickly
go.
before we
You
jump
got
into
you jump.
John?
Love it. Shoot, go for it.
How do you, and it's not actually about the exercise execution, but when I do more dumbbell chest than barbell, just because I work out alone and I, don't want to quit squish myself under the bar. When you start getting heavier, what's your best way of finishing the exercise? Because I always, you see some people really like drop it, and I'm always worried that I'm like, tear shoulders. But once you get heavier, it's sometimes harder to squat up with it. Like, do you have a sort of
Oh
preferred
yeah.
way of lowering the weights?
Yeah, you gotta so this is like a bro question right here, man. Here, I'm just gonna stop sharing for a second. This is like a bro question. This isn't because my answer might not be the right one, but it's the one that'll save your life though. You gotta learn how to like literally like bring it and then like finish your press here, and then bring up your knees and then your knees. Make sense? So like
Yeah.
you know what a dead bug is? So imagine that you're holding the
Yeah.
dumbbells and dead bug, raise your legs up and then literally put it against your knee and then kind of put the weight and it'll throw you up, but you won't drop them. I've seen too many people bring them down to their chest and they're kind of like, and they try to like scurry out of it and like you're going to break your thumb or you're going to break your shoulder that way.
Or the one I see a lot is, like then trying to drop it down to the ground, and I just see like that tearing through the shoulder.
Yeah, if you're gonna drop it, actually drop it. Like
Yeah.
you can throw them as long as you're in a safe environment. Again, I'm in my garage, so I can throw mine. And if I don't make a rep, that's what I do. I just throw them. I never bring them down.
Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
But yeah, definitely just learn to dismount where you almost like do a dead bug. That's the best way. Okay. Okay, I'm gonna bring this guy back up here. Okay, so we got the same thing. He's doing good pressing. I'm seeing his elbows come in. So we do got a little bit of a different kind of pressing here. He's a little bit more high. So John, I would suggest that you actually do bring your elbows in a little bit more. You're gonna notice it helps. Okay, a couple of things. We can actually utilize that same kind of moment arm here. You can see that. So straight down, triceps out here. And this isn't wrong. This is just showing you guys what that means in terms of exercise. Okay, so if you can see it, you can see everything. Because again, the squat is usually more visual, and so people will usually be like, "I don't understand why I'm not growing quads. I do squats all the time. What's going on?" And then you look at their moment arm, their squat, and they have zero knee forward. It's all lower back and glutes. So then they're just doing low back and glutes. And then you look at their low back and the glutes, and then they have a butt and they have a lower back. So it's like, oh well, it's working. Right? Because exercises will always give you the result. It's just you're not really sure what it is doing. Does that make sense? Okay. So, but you can kind of see that he's out here a little bit more. So I would cue him down. I'm wondering if he's going to internally rotate or not. Let's watch it through. So we can see a little bit of instability. I'm not sure if that's his left shoulder or not. That left shoulder shows a little bit of instability there, which is good because he's fighting through it. What I would be cueing here is just really focusing on packing your lats, John, and it's really going to help you stabilize. Okay, so a cue that really helps me is when I'm grabbing the dumbbells when I get in position is hide the armpit. Okay, hide that armpit. Just do that with your hand, and then you're going to feel your lat turn on, and then you can bring it into your back like that, and you'll never feel like you're doing this because usually when somebody's failing, if we just watch that last couple seconds again, right? It's usually because the tricep in the anterior delt is trying to extend the rep and we're losing the chest. Go ahead, John, were you saying something?
I was going to say that part of the instability is that's my surgical shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm still building. I'm still working on evening out the strength on both sides.
Sure. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Just so you know, this is more of like I'm doing this. It's like a imagine this isn't you. So imagine this is just like it's a person with no
Oh no, I
problem,
understand.
and I'm just
I
yeah.
understand.
So if we were to like lock down the scapula as an example and use this as anybody else seeing the exact same fault, what you'd see is you probably see scapular protraction. Okay, like you're gonna see the scapula come back out, and we've all done it. Every single person is pressed, and the shoulders come out like ah. And it feels like you lose pressing strength. Then you just have to basically rely on your tricep and your anterior delt to finish the rep. Okay. So simple cues, guys. If you wanted to learn that right now, armpit, hide the armpit. Okay. and do that before every single rep. Repeat it. Do that, breathe, bring it into your back. A cue I often use with my in-person clients is to actually think about like just rowing. Don't even think about the press, just think about rowing. Because you're not going to get down here and wonder what to do. You're going to be like, "Oh yeah, I press." So you're not going to forget. So bring it into your back. Like think about squeezing your back and then you're going to press through, okay?
So, Steve, question.
Yeah, shoot.
If I'm, so I'm thinking that if I'm hiding my armpit, that it's going to have the effect that my dumbbells are a little bit more angled at the top. Is that right?
Like this?
Yes.
Yes.
I think I was trying to keep them parallel. I think that's probably why I'm doing
Probably
that.
why, man. Yeah, and for sure. And a lot of people do think that that's like the best pressing mechanics. But if you're looking for it to be more shoulder dominant, more tricep dominant, maybe. But like, I would definitely suggest bringing the elbows like that so that you're having more of like a 45 degree like that.
Now I'll do that next time.
Okay, try it out. I think this is the last. This is you too, John, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because just so you know, you actually do this really well, which is really funny because it's shoulder directly and your shoulders work incredibly well here. What I was going to say is I'm just not a fan of just this setup. It's not you, it's just like sitting down on this bench because what it forces you to do is it forces you to stabilize through your upper back, but without the help of spinal stability. So, meaning like, if we look at the pelvis, can you guys see that he's slightly into an extended pelvic position? Can you see that? His lower back is very arched, right? Right. So there's no stability. And the reason why is because there's no connection to the ground. So he's sitting down on the bench. Not only that, but it's a really bad failure position, meaning like there's not a really good way to get out of this. If anything happened, God forbid, then like it's really hard to bail it. It's really hard to do anything if he falls backwards, something like that. It's basically just an exercise that's gonna hurt. So what I would do, man, is I'd stand up or just that way, if you falls, it just drop it behind you, or you can throw it. Make sense?
I'll talk to Greg. He has the seated.
Because you have it seated.
He has me doing seated right now, and maybe it's because he's also thinking that we're still rehabbing the shoulder. I'm not sure.
Maybe, man. Maybe I would lean out of that though. That's my personal preference. I would talk to Greg about it and see what his intentions are, unless he has intentions that just I'm not seeing, which is very possible. Greg knows what he's doing, so I wouldn't question it. But you do this really well. Like your shoulder mechanics are actually working really well because of it. But what I would want to see is I'd want to see more of a posterior tilt. Like I'd cue posterior tilting, which means just get your glutes underneath you. We've heard Ben talk about stacking, like you thinking like ears, shoulders, rib cage, pelvis, knees, ankles, right? Like we're stacking the body, right? So if we look at this, we can see like the head, shoulders, and then what's happening is we have this sway back and we have a lot of mass in our core right here because you're pushing it forward. Because that extension position. So a lot of the integrity of our core isn't being utilized because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I'm near the end of this current cycle, so I think he did it because he didn't think I think he thought that I wouldn't have enough shoulder stability standing up because he talked about having the bench up so that I could lean back on the bench. It's
Yeah.
like I don't need to, so.
Well, if so, yeah, so that makes sense, John. If he's saying to have the bench up to lean back on it, I would agree with that 100%. Because then you're actually adding stability. Remember that like the bench itself won't add stability to your scapula, it'll add stability to you, which means like your core gets more stable, so therefore you're more effective, right? What I would watch out for, just as a personal thing, is just watch out again for just injury. Just meaning like just watch out for falling backwards the barbell. Cause if you missed a rep and it goes too far backwards, you're gonna fall and it's gonna be a mess, right? But yeah, imagine that this is somebody else again. What I would be cueing is I'd be cueing the glutes underneath the person. And then diaphragmatic expansion. So the first thing that always matters, guys, is spinal stability. So straight spine, brace hard, and then think about engaging the scapula, like really engage again, external rotation, which you're doing really well, and then pushing and keeping the elbows underneath the bar. There's some views I like to show off often, and something that I've worked with, for example, Chaz on, is just like understanding the different views and how we can integrate the correct form based on that view. So when we're seeing from the front, we don't want to have the elbows out. We want to have the elbows stacked underneath the wrists. So if you guys are working out in front of a mirror and you're doing a shoulder press, grab on that lets you do that. Okay. Put the hand width. If you're going like this and the elbows are out, it's not going to happen. And then if you do this and then you push and the elbows do this, And then they kind of come out and they swerve around. You see how they kind of lose that stack position, like the elbows are no longer, sorry, I can't speak, no longer underneath the wrists. Then we want to make sure that we go wider to compensate for that, okay? And then the second thing is from the side. If we're looking from the side, we don't want to have the elbows too far forward or underneath. Like I've seen some people do both where they actually internally rotate the elbows back and they raise it up like that because they lack the shoulder stability and they lack probably thoracic extension as well, okay? So some cues just for everybody to shoulder press is, again, keep your glutes underneath you, breathe and brace into your belly, and then think about keeping a tight brace. So keep your abs and keep your core on, and then extend your chest. Pull your chest up. So when we're doing that, we're really only accessing from here to here. So what I want you guys to do right now is just everybody breathe in your belly and just brace, okay? And then pull your chest up, but don't let your abs relax. And you'll notice when you pull your chest up, we're really only accessing about this much range of motion. Do you see the difference? It's not much. It's like, eep. And then we're thinking, keep the elbows here, push. Okay. And he does a really good job pushing his head through too. So that's a good cue. Okay. But yeah, those are the videos that get submitted, guys. So do you have any questions about those lifts that I didn't angles or other videos submitted?
If that last one was standing, I see a lot of people when they're doing their standing, it probably maybe training something different, but a lot of sort of sway from the bottom and on the left. I'm guessing the answer would be if you're doing for sort of isolation and not, a CrossFit lift or something, we should be trying to like isolate the legs, keep it steady.
Correct. Yeah. So, and that's a sliding scale because, like, if you're trying to isolate already, then why not just get into a machine? And then, if you want to isolate more, why not just do like a delt raise? And then isolate more, do a delt raise with a cable. So, like, see how that gets more and more isolated, right? So that's why there's a big focus on dividing function, or I'd rather not dividing, but separating function and skill from output. Because when we understand the intention of it, then it becomes very clear it's what we're trying to accomplish. And I like that. That helps me. It's helped my training the last year. It's helped me really, really get into my training. Because if everything's a hammer, or sorry, if everything's a nail, then what do we become? We become hammers, right? And that's all it turns into, to just go beat the crap out of yourself with everything. But instead, if everything has a different kind of intention, then we can look at that intention and ask yourself every single time if we're doing it properly and then load accordingly, right? And then now we're trying to get a specific response. So in the shoulder press, for example, are we seeing a stacked position? Are we seeing proper shoulder external rotation? Are we seeing, like you said, movement in the jolting of the weight? Because if we are, that's not controlled motion. That's just you cheating that up, right? Now, again, if you're doing competition like CrossFit lifts, go for it. But we're not talking about that, right? Make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'm guessing the same answer would be I see a lot of people probably with like leaning back so much that
Yeah.
it almost becomes like an incline
Exactly.
press. I'm guessing
Yep.
that's the stacking you're talking about if you're going for delts.
Yep. Exactly, man. And like when we do that, it's because it's something else. It's a compensation mechanism, right? So usually 90% of the time it starts at the spine, starts the breath work, because we have to understand what's going on. Whenever I talk to people about breath work, they think I'm being a hippie and saying just breathe and it takes care of things. It's not about that. What it's about is understanding that we can't get proper diaphragmatic expansion if our spine is in the wrong place, and it teaches us where we should be in this world. Okay. So everybody could get in this position. I'm gonna kind of show you sometimes, sometimes you guys don't. But if you everybody did like a standing plank of sorts, right? And if everybody was standing like this, that's the pause. You can see my lower back is an extension. And I did like a standing plank. I'd be like, okay, oh, there's my pelvis. And then I breathe. And you can breathe in your belly. But if you go into like an anterior tilt, try to breathe into your belly. It's really hard. Like it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. Like your brain won't really let you do it. Okay? Because you start filling up here. And if you actually look at people who have more of a sway or an anterior pelvic tilt, where do they breathe? They breathe into their shoulders a lot, right? And their shoulders are forward, and that's their posture. They assume this, like almost like this penguin posture, right? It's weird. And same thing with like military. Like a lot of people who are in military, very stacked position, they can do a lot of diaphragmatic breathing. It can also be a problem if it's too severe. But we're trying to, again, like build from the ground up and understand that the function, the skill of this exercise is founded upon, again, spinal stability. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, awesome.
If I was to build on one more thing, I'll tell you though, is like, guys, look for those parameters and take advantage of them. It'll take your training to a new level, okay? Like if you were to look at like a walking lunge versus a hack squat, what's going to build your quads? Hack squat. We know that, right? We know that. Why? Because a hack squat is a quad output exercise, right? If you can load 400 pounds on a hack squat, take it through full range of motion, controlled reps where you know you're in charge, and you can do that for like 6 to 10 reps, that's growing your quads more than 30 pounds for a dumbbell lunge, okay? Nobody would lie otherwise, okay? So you can't grow your legs with 400 pounds and then expect 30 to somehow grow them now. It doesn't work like that, okay? It's never going to, not unless you did 30 for some odd million reps and you'd have so much muscle damage you wouldn't be able to work out for the next 2 years. So it's not going to happen, right? So the only thing that we want to start thinking about now is like, if that's not going to grow my quads then compared to that, then I'm going to pick the hack squat for growing my quads. Sure. Then what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the lunge as a way to exploit and try to take advantage of range of motion and positional stability. Okay. And then load it according to that. Because then it's like, can I access these positions? Can I maintain, hip, ankle, knee function? Like, where's my spine? Am I breathing properly? Am I holding? Am I able to stabilize in all these ranges with 5 pounds? Can you? 5, 10, 20, right? And that is cool because I've seen guys who could squat 800 and bury it. And then you give them a walking lunge, like with body weight, and they fall over. So there are definitely benefits there, okay? And the same thing would be a shoulder press, okay? Like if we're looking at a shoulder press, we're looking to develop the skill of it. Again, like I was saying, can you maintain that extension or the external rotation? So spinal extension through thoracic spine, core pressure, your hips are underneath you, your stacked position, and you can maintain that through the press and get your arm over your head, right? Okay. Can you guys do that? Can you guys keep your abs on and actually raise your arm over your head and keep your elbow relatively forward? So point your elbow forward, raise it overhead. It's harder than you think. It's way harder than you think, isn't it? So your abs are down still, your chest is up, elbow forward, whoop, like that, raise your arm overhead. It's like way tougher than you think because people like what they often do is they go like this, and they go, and they go like that, and they raise they lift their abs, like the rib opens. Right? And if the ribs open at all, then we're borrowing range from our lumbar spine, right? That thoracic lumbar junction there, like we're opening, we're borrowing range there. Okay. Okay, so some stuff there to think about. Even with like chest presses, like if you notice, like we get into more detail of this, like we could talk about this for hours, guys. Like chest press, it sounds like such a simple thing, right? But I had one client a little while back in MI and really, really awesome guy, did an amazing transformation. And we got into some of these conversations in the weekly, and it was really cool because he would do like chest press. I think he was actually doing a fly. But anyways, he was doing a fly and he was doing good. Scaps retracted, going open. And then what I noticed is like, do you notice your first rep versus your last rep? And he's like, oh, did I start messing up? Like, no, your form in terms of how you're executing it with your arms and your scapula is great. And I said, do you see what you're doing with your rib cage? And then he's like, no. So he looked back and his first rep's here, his last rep was here. Like every single rep, he extended more and more and more. So basically, he was in like his upper chest in the first rep. And then he turned it into a lower chest exercise. So the fibers that were experiencing tension on rep 1 through 5 weren't getting any more tension in the last reps. So, like, that's like doing a bicep curl and then slowly you start turning it into like a shoulder press. And then it's like, and then you're here now. It's like, well, did you not notice that? And then he's like, no, that's really cool. So then it gave him a parameter now to execute because he was actually noticing he was increasing his weights too quickly. Like now that he noticed that, he's like, yeah, I've been jumping fast. I'm getting strong. I'm like, well, that's why. Because you're actually manipulating the exercise. So now regress it, use that as a parameter to intentionally hog tie you here, and then now get better. And then he was like, this is awesome. So that's how he would look at it because we don't want to actually lift a lot of weight. It's going to happen. And I know it sounds like something you want to go after, but after 5 years, you don't want to put 500 pounds on a deadlift bar every single week. It can be really mentally daunting. So try to find a way to hog tie yourself to certain weights. And the best way is to have parameters on exercises to keep you liable to that, right? Saying like, yeah, I have to do these things. Have you guys ever had like a training partner who pushes your back against a wall when you're doing like a curl? Something like that. Like just try that stuff because then the curl changes, right? Like imagine putting your back against a wall when you're doing a barbell curl. You're like, I can't do anything because it changes the exercise. And then now you have a parameter like I can't do any more weight unless I do it like that, right? Make sense, guys? Okay. So guys, last 20 minutes of the call, we could either end the call now, like, or if you have any questions, I'm here for you guys to throw them at me. What is going on?
I had one more, but I've been hogging the limelight, so I'm just going to pause and see if anyone else has got questions.
No, Rob, go for it. Somebody else will cut you off, any. Go for it.
Well, I was going to ask, what do you do? Some suggestions if you notice an instability. So one thing I noticed, I used to play rugby and my left shoulder got injured a bit, and I'd often find when I was doing dumbbells, my left would just give out, whether it's a shoulder press or a bench. Like I'd get to a stage and my right would have two more good reps in it, and my left would just go, nope, I'm not going any further. And I'd always kind of want to.
Yeah.
Am I under training now my right by not pushing it to failure? How do I get my left to? It's not an injury now, it's just a thing of muscular imbalance. How do you sort of train this instability out?
Yeah. What I would say, man, is like it can actually be maybe multifactorial, and I'm not sure if I have the answer for you specifically, so unless I see you move on a lot of fronts, right? But like, I don't mean to be redundant, but if we look at the spine and we look at breathing, it can be really interesting. Like if you guys just so you guys can understand what I'm saying, if you just sit there and just breathe through your belly and then try to inflate and think about inflating, like it's almost like a thermometer rising. Like you're trying to inflate and inflate and inflate and inflate and inflate. Do you guys notice? Like do it right now. Try to do that as I'm talking to you. Okay. Try to again breathe through the belly and then keep on breathing in and try to inflate, open the ribs, let the ribs open, let the sternum rise. And then let the shoulders rise, everything. Did you notice one side of your ribs flared before the other one? Did you notice that you felt your back inhale and you felt pressure in your back muscles or your shoulder, like one shoulder before the other one? Did you notice that it was, yeah, you did, John. Do you know, probably because of your injury, right? Or the surgery. Did anybody else notice that? Like, Kent, you said that you raised your hand. Yeah. Like, I do. And that's the thing. I feel it in my right hand side of my back, and that's my right, I separated this shoulder. And so like there's a lot of fun stuff the human body does, right? And so that'd be an example about how like your rib cage itself can actually become constricted based on breathing mechanics. And so it can be beneficial to, again, just exploit breath work for that. Because a lot of these hypertonic positions that our brain puts us in, it's the nervous system. And the nervous system just locks things down. Like it's a posture, right? It's a posture that you've been forced into. You don't know. You didn't even know until now I brought it up to you. You're like, wow, yeah, like if I'm breathing in and my right side of my back is just a little bit tight. Well, again, your brain is in control of that muscle that's causing tension. So if you just spend 5 minutes a day just trying to breathe in, and then when you feel that discomfort, just try to like breathe through it. Literally just breathe through it, spend time in it, relax, do it again, do it again. And I bet you it'll relax and get a little better. And then imagine now doing that for like the period of 6 months while you're exercising versus the version of you who'd never did it. Right? Who's going to have more access to range of motion in that right hand side? 100% the guy who was able to breathe through that stuff because he's able to loosen the muscles and the nervous system realizes that, hey, I don't need to be tight there. Right? We all know we see this because we see geriatric people, right? We see older senior citizens and what do they look like? Their postures, everything, gravity pulls them down, right? It's like it's pulling them into a little circle. And so if we know that's existing with them, what can we do right now to restore that? So that's the first thing, breath, spine. Second thing is trying to see how the scapula moves on your left versus right side. So getting like if you're working with Andrew, like you're gonna have to take that top off, man, or wear a stringer and just do some like all your back exercises. Send him videos of how your scapula move, okay? Lat pull downs, one arm dumbbell rows, back and forth, make sure your scapula are visible, right? Chest supported rows, bent over rows, like definitely bent over rows and pull ups, stuff like that. So you can see what's going on. Cause it's probably going to stick out like a sore thumb. It might be like hidden very well in certain exercises. Then it's like, oh, there it is. And you'll see it in one exercise is going to suck. Right. And usually what you'll see when there's shoulder mechanics is you see upward rotation. Okay. Like the shoulder blade comes up because then it's like, so if you guys do this, put your shoulder blade down and then raise your arm. Very easy. Felt good. Now shoulder blade up. Now raise your arm. It's like it doesn't want to do anything. It's like, oh. And so that's what happens. The scapula is unstable, or if we're in a spinally flexed position, like the spine flexes forward, we lack thoracic extension, comes here, and we're like, and then we can't, and then we try to press, and you'll never make it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you.
Okay. But again, see, it's a rabbit hole, right? There's a lot to digest there. So the best thing to do is exploit your trainer. Andrew will hate me that you're going to send him an onslaught of videos, but do it, man. Okay. Chaz, John, Paul, Ken, any questions for you guys? You guys are good? Does this call help? Do you like these kind of things? This kind of stuff help you guys? When there's another one, I'm not sure if it's always me exercise execution. I don't know. I know that like Coach Dan likes to do a lot of awesome like mindset work. Chris is a powerlifter, so he'll probably do this kind of stuff as well. But guys, take advantage of these kind of videos because again, like Robert just kind of found out, like this stuff it actually can be a rabbit hole, which is super super cool because you can understand things that maybe didn't even understand was an option, right? So we can get into some really cool, ways of looking at exercise science. So when the next one comes up, get your videos submitted to the WhatsApp group so we can take advantage of these calls. Okay, cool. Okay, guys, have yourself a good night. We'll talk soon.
Awesome. Thank
Thanks
you.
very
Thanks,
much.
guys.
Thank
Thank you.
you, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.